as he was praying, it did come to me, something I had studied, but it's not in the lesson. But as thy days be, so shall your strength be. And, you know, a lot of times people think, well, my ministry's over, it's time for me to go home. Well, when God gave that scripture, he was saying it, and he goes, no, your time's not up yet. If you're still breathing, God still has a purpose for you while you're on this earth, and don't stop. He'll give you the strength that's needed to continue to bring glory and honor to him. You're still ministering for Christ. Whether you're behind a pulpit, you're at home, wherever, you are to minister Christ, and he giveth the grace. He'll give you more grace. I want us to go into 1 Timothy, and it's chapter 6. I pray you don't get the battle I had. Ooh. Okay, let's see. But it's, you know, when you think about battles and stuff, I want you guys to remember the Word of God is like gold set before us, and it's so pure and so sweet. It's so much better than any trial we could ever go through. Let me tell you, it's the Word of God that keeps your mouth quiet. It's the Word of God that keeps you standing. It's the Word of God that keeps you at rest, let you know you don't have to fight. The Lord is fighting for you. And, you know, it's better to let the Lord fight for you because he knows hearts of all. I mean, we could try to fight a fight, and boy, I tell you, we could hurt them even worse. So I just want the Lord, you know, to do my fighting for me. We're going to go into chapter 6 of Timothy. You know, Timothy is a son of Paul, and he is, because it's a son in the gospel. He preached the word to Timothy. Timothy laid hold of it. Timothy began to grow, and he became strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And Timothy's name means honoring God. And I believe all of us want to honor God with all of our substance. So in chapter 6, you're going to see in the very beginning, it's talking about, verse 2, it says, they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful, because they're beloved, because they are partakers of the benefit. How many of you have found that word since Jean preached on that on Psalms 103? How has it benefited you? It says they're partakers of the benefit. These things teach and these things exhort. There is a use of wealth. And this is someone, a pastor or Timothy, you're going to have to teach these things. People may not want to hear it, but you have to preach the truth. The whole counsel of God. That means God's word. Every word that is breathed out of this truth. As we look, I can just see it so plain. Don't take away from it and don't add to it. In other words, God is standing here and he's speaking forth truth. And he said, you don't need to add to it. You don't need to fight. You don't need to do anything. Don't add your opinion. Just preach my word. So if any man teach otherwise, okay? He said, these things you are to teach and exhort. And those are the benefits that we have. Who are we preaching? Christ. Christ and what he's done, what he's doing. He's making intercession for us. What is ahead for us? Is it being taught today? What is the future for the saints of God? If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He's proud. He knows nothing, but doting about with questions, strifes of words. You ever seen that? When somebody really wants you to get something, there's always strife, there's contention, there's, now what about this and what about that? You know, we don't have to do that when you preach God's word. He's proud. He doesn't know anything. And all these things bring strifes of words. It comes envy, strife. There's railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. They're destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Which some you need to withdraw yourself. But godliness and contentment is great gain. You know, he's going to talk about being rich. There are people who think they're rich and they know so much. But then he also says, you know, we need to If you're godly, be content. It's such a great gain for you. We brought nothing in this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having your food and your clothing, let it be there with content. Don't let that be the center of your life. They that which be rich, okay, and he's telling Timothy these things. Timothy, when they are rich, they're going to fall into temptation. They're going to come into snares, into many foolish, hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, and it's not bad to have money, but when God has blessed you with money, let God use you. If everybody was led by godly rule and authority, let me tell you, there wouldn't be a lot of people poor in this world. I believe that when in the church, there were going to even be people who were rich. They're wealthy. They need to be taught the truth of God's word. He said, they love money. And he said, the love of money is the root of all evil. It's the love of it. That's where my heart, that's my life. It's all the money I can get. And they want to even build bigger barns. That one guy, he wanted to build more to put some more stuff in it. He said, they are the root of all evil. We know from God's word. What does it say? We are to overcome evil with what? Good. All good things are from above. And he said, that which is coveted after. In other words, they covet. That's the center of their life. They erred from the faith. And I don't think, you know, that can even be people. Just know that sometimes you're rich in the Lord, but what do we do with it? They pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Sorrows that didn't have to be there if they were only guided and led by the word of God. He said, okay, we're going to, the heading on my, in verse 11, and this is where our lesson comes from, but you had to hear that first. It's a good fight of faith. But when we see but, there's a change, something different. But thou, and take this for yourself, Timothy, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Doesn't mean, well, I'll just stand there and I'll overcome this and I'll over. Get away from it. Take no part in it. Don't let it be the center of your life. Well, if I don't have this or this doesn't happen, then I can't do this. Oh, man of God, you flee these things. Get away from it. Follow after righteousness. What did Paul say? Paul's not a man just saying follow after righteousness. Paul, what was it? We are to follow Paul because he followed Christ. Jesus said, be ye followers of me. Take up your cross and follow me. Oh, man of God, you flee these things. And it doesn't say, oh, little child. To be a man of God, we got to know the truth. It's what's going to change our life and the lives of other people. Follow after this. You want to have riches? You follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. What verses come to you when you read just those words? Because even seeing patience, that is patient. We have to endure. That means patience is just because you prayed and you haven't seen what you wanted to see, you still pray. Have you ever prayed for someone for years and you haven't seen anything? Do you have patience? Are you cheerfully enduring this? Because when you get your eyes on the Lord and the one who's going to change all these things, he said, you will have the patience. Patience to continue on. It's hope. He said to him, fight the good fight of faith. And when I saw that, I wrote down, fight. We always go to the good fight. No, he said, fight. Why are we fighting? What does that mean? Fight. There means that when you're going to speak truth, you're going to have opposition come against you. It will always happen because truth and error will not mix. They don't go together. Just like the love of money and the things we just talked about. Flee that stuff. Get away from it. But thou, O man of God, you flee it. But I want you to fight. That's what you're going to do. You're going to fight because opposition is against the truth of God's word. Fight. What kind of fight are we to fight? The good fight. Twice he says it. You're going to fight, but it's going to be a good fight. A good fight is a winning fight. Fighting sometimes is not used, you know, it's not the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But he's got to have someone. Timothy, I want you to remember, I want you to fight a good fight. Fight a good fight. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're going to fight, sometimes you'll just stand. Sometimes you will say nothing. Quietness and stillness is your strength. I was strong in the Lord. I was strong just to be still. He giveth the strength to be still in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the flood. Be still, my child, and know. You fight the good fight, and it is a faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on it. Get it. Catch it. Seize it. Take it. What did he say to lay hold of? Eternal life. What does it say in Romans 6:23? This is a gift of God. Have you even opened it? Have you even searched into this wonderful gift that's been given you? Or are we so caught up in all these other things that the true riches we are not even seeking? We're not going to fight a good fight if we don't know truth. Lay hold on the eternal life that you have. It's been given to you, and it was a gift freely given to you. But let me tell you, it says in Romans 6:23, it is a gift, but it costs Jesus something. And I'm telling you, to give out this truth is going to cost you something. It's going to cost. The word of God has already forewarned us. If you suffer with me, you're going to reign with me. Whereunto thou art also called, Timothy, you have professed a good profession. Your confession before men, it has not just been this good fight. He has a good confession. His profession, what he speaks. Timothy, you have a good profession before many witnesses. When you fight that good fight, what did he tell him about unfeigned faith? Unfeigned faith is sincere. It is genuine. It is not pretending. It's not hypocritical. It is genuine right in your heart. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's in your heart and it's in your actions. You're not just speaking words. He said, you have professed a good profession. And many witnesses. I give thee charge. He always charged Timothy. I give you charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate, he witnessed a good confession, that thou keep these commandments without spot, unrebukable. Let me tell you, if it's without spot, you're going to be in Christ. Because if we're in ourselves or in this world, any of that stuff, it's spotted, it's wrinkled, and it needs some heat put to it to get those wrinkles out. It needs the washing and the cleansing of the water of the word to get those spots out. Remember we had in Sunday school, they could, I think it was in Jeremiah, You can get whatever you want, and you can scour it. You can try to clean that spot out, but you're not going to be able to do it. It's only through the blood of Jesus, that new life, that eternal life that we've been given. You see, it's not just being born again. The bride comes into all this. She's entering into all of his glory. She needs the whole. And you know, when we say the whole counsel of God, preach all the word of God. No, get the word. The whole counsel. He's counseling each one of us day by day and moment by moment. What to say, where to go, how to handle a situation. Get counsel from God's word. That's what it's here for. I gave you charge. And he said, unrebukable until what? The appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how long is he going to do that? From when he said it until the coming of Jesus. You see, your eyes are on the appearing of our Lord. What if he came this very moment? Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If Jesus walked in this church this very moment, and we all could see him, will he find faith? Will he find you believing in what he has done, the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ? Or will we be looking at circumstance and the ones who come against us, or illness, anything? He has complete authority over every bit of it. I remember even when he laid it on my heart about Rod, hey, I got all authority, and I got the end of this thing. No man, no person has the authority over that life. He is mine, I bought him, and I have the last word. And it's going to be a good word. He said, who only hath, your confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable. There's nothing unrebukable. He's establishing, settling us, and strengthen us in him. Nothing can be, anything can come against truth. It'll try, but it can't change it. That's who you're in. You have to get this so you have total rest, total peace, no matter where you're at. Nobody, no matter how many, a multitude come against you. This is who you are. Standing in truth, believing faith, believing what he has done. Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times, who he blessed, only potentate, capable, that means capable, of King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto thee, which no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor, power, everlasting, amen. Now let's just break it down here. When you look at that, it's like a whole bunch of words, but he said, there's only one, immortality, that's the body. And he said, no man, the scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, no man has seen or heard the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But it's through the power of the Holy Ghost to be revealed unto us. We don't know these things. We can't lay hold of this. It's revealed to us. And when you see what a treasure has been disposed and put in this body, put in us, Christ in me, the hope of glory, what man could never attain to in himself. We get the fullness of glory to bring glory and honor to him. He's telling him, you got to keep preaching this. You got to keep saying it, Timothy. Tell him. And he put here, he said, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, okay? In other words, he's going to come. You might have riches, but in your meeting, Timothy, be sure to tell them, don't be high-minded. Don't get so proud, nor trust in those uncertain riches, But here's what you really trust in, because it's eternal. It's forever. We have a living God. Our God is alive. A living God who giveth us richly all things. Why? To enjoy them. He giveth us all things. I can have a nice home. I can enjoy that, but it's His. You see, I think God really has to get a hold of a heart before they realize people have a house or a car and they go, well, that's my car. No, it isn't. It is God's, and God can use it however He pleases. What if God told you, take your car and give it to your neighbor for 2 weeks? Let's just see what's in the heart. If God said it, your neighbor has a need, I want you to give him your car. It's mine anyway. It's only borrowed for a while. Well, that's my car. I'm responsible. If anything happens, I can do this. No, go back to who's talking. If God said it, you just yield. You just yield to that. His treasures are so much higher than a man. Don't trust in uncertain riches. You trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to. It's to enjoy. That they do good. That they be rich in good works. Who is our good works? If I take my place in Christ, I guarantee you whatever we have will be ministered appropriately. Ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life, not the worldly goods. Oh, Timothy, can you just hear Paul? Timothy, I know these words seem really strong, and I've told you to fight a good fight. I've told you there's going to be opposition. I told you that it's going to be okay because I'm going to give you what you need. It's going to be the word that's going to keep you standing. I know it sounds, you know, like to the natural man, oh, what am I coming up against? Timothy, when God has given you this gospel, it's been entrusted into your care. It's entrusted into your care. You answer to God. You will not answer to man, but you will answer to God. Don't you want it? If one person is on my side, and it's God, and the truth, what do we want more? What else would we want? He said, I want you to lay hold on this eternal life, this gospel that you've been given. Timothy, keep it. And I always think of keep. Guard it. No loss, no harm, no injury. By keeping your eye upon it. You be listening to the Lord. That which is committed to what? Your trust. I'm trusting you with this. Think of this. Have you ever thought the Lord trusted you with a trial? I trusted you with that. I know that you are wanting to learn to lean on me. I knew what I said to you before the trial ever began, just like this lesson. I already knew. I equipped you. I equipped you before you ever went through that trial, before that phone call was ever made. I prepared you for that. And that's how you stood. And that's how you spoke right things. Not what seemed right to a man, but what is right in God's eyes and in His ears. I committed these to your trust, Timothy, avoiding profane and vain babblings and opposition of science, falsely so-called. Have you ever had that? He's telling him, you don't have to have an answer to everybody who comes up and wants to argue truth with you. You don't have to. He said, if I want you to say something, it'll be there to say it. But just because someone comes out and goes, well, what about this? And they'll take the scripture and just twist it all up in your face. And it's like you have to sit there and go, what? Now, wait a minute. And then wait on the Lord, because the power of the Holy Ghost, God is faithful. He brings you the truth. He said, this is truth. Walk you in it. This is the way. Walk you in it. His way, not our ways. You avoid those vain babblings and those oppositions. You don't have to answer to all those crazy questions because you have the gospel and you have sound doctrine. And it's healthy. It's going to keep you strong. Which some professing, they profess with their mouth, have erred concerning the faith. What? Erred concern, what is faith? Well, he is the faith, but they've erred from the faith. And they've erred from the truth of God's word. Faith came by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. You see how all this enters into fight, a good fight? Concerning the faith, grace be with you. Amen. And he says, so be it. And I thought on this, and thank the Lord for this. I just was like, oh, wow. Look what you entrusted to Timothy. He wanted to honor God. His name meant that. And he's going to honor God with all of his substance. Whose substance? True substance. True substance. And he said, you've given this to Timothy. Now, he's Paul. Paul, he's given this to Timothy for a purpose. I remember in the scripture where it said, I'm sending Timothy to you. And here's why I'm sending him. He cares for your state. You see, we got to get our state up to our standing. That's true sanctification. That's sanctification put in action. That is God working a work and a work. And it's worked in you and it's worked out. And as I looked on this, he said, yes, I did give this to Timothy. And Timothy is sharing this with my people, the people of God, that it cost Jesus something. And he said, and here's what happened. I told him there was going to be a day at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? I told him that he was to stand. I told him he was to fight a good fight, overcome the evil with good. He said, give out a good measure out of your heart, out of the heart of a good man. What does he do? He gives it out. Who? The man of God. I told you fight is because of opposition. And we're to teach no other doctrine. And then he says, it's genuine. Well, what is Paul do? Is Paul just a man of words? Follow me, as I am of Christ. We go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Starting on verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from truth. I don't want to hear that. Truth. Who's responsible for that? We're all responsible to give it out. We do not have to have, we're not going to try to change people. If we have that attitude to give out the word of God, that's a wrong attitude. Lord, make my attitude right before you. That this is truth. That you want them to have truth. The same way you did me. You love me the same way you love them. And Paul says, and they shall turn away their ears from truth, the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch. Remember we had that last week? But watch. Be awake. You can't watch if you're asleep. Watch thou in all things, everything. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. Paul says, Timothy, I am now ready. I'm ready to be offered. He's going to be offered up. Jesus was offered up. I'm now ready to be offered. And the time, see, God has our time in his hands. The time of my departure, it's at hand. But get this, Timothy. To me, it's like just to have this lovely conversation, but it was like, I fought a good fight. Ah, what did I tell you to do? Fight a good fight. I told you how to fight it. I told you it's not with men's weapon, carnal weapons. I told you it's faith. Believe in God. Well, my time of my departure is at hand. Timothy, you got to be secure, and the saints must be secure in him. Because whoever departs, we have to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I ran the race. And I ran it to win. You know, one of those things over there meant to win. And I forgot to say it. Anyway, it's to win. As we do all these things that he told Timothy, it was to win that fight. But he told him, he said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I kept the faith. I guarded it as a treasure like no one knew. Some people don't even know what a treasure they have. Guard it. Henceforth, because I'm ready to be offered, my time's at hand. He knew it was time for him to go. You're going to know. My departure is at hand. He tells everything the Lord done through his life. That's a finished work right there. That's bringing the provisional made practical up to your provisional. He worked it in me and out of me, and I went through trials and afflictions and everything. But it was all him. Henceforth, because of all this, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. There's a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, and he knows, shall give me at that day. He's going to give it to me at that day. Not to me only. Paul said, it's not just for me only. It was those that fight the good fight that I'm telling you about, that have finished my course, your race course. You can't run mine and I can't run yours because it is appointed of God. God appointed everything that Jesus went through. And he said, I delight to do thy will, O God. I kept the faith and there is a crown that's laid up for me. He shall give me at that day. And he's not going to give to me only, okay, but to all them also that love his appearing. We'll know what time that is. You're going to love his appearing. I want to see him. I want to see him face to face. The one who gave me the ability to fight a good fight, a winning fight. It's faith. It's him. He fought the battle and he won. And he did it for all of us. But Paul was an example to Timothy. The whole thing he taught him, my son in the faith. You're my son, but I preached only truth to you. The whole counsel that God gave me, I gave it to you. Paul wrote all these epistles for us. We're all without excuse. Everything we preach, everything we do should be right here. Paul wrote these epistles for the church. We are to be preaching this truth. If it's not in Paul's epistles, who was that for? He was the chief apostle for the church. And you tell people that and they go, I never heard that before. That doesn't make them bad. You just heard it. You just heard it. Because God has made sure everybody has known. We're all without excuse, you know. And it's like, I have to think on, what is that to thee, Penny? I don't care what it is. Every time I go through something and I go, I don't know how that, you know, we do. It's that part of us, that body. And then the sweet, sweet spirit. And I go, wow. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Well, what about them? What are they going to do, Lord? What about them? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. That's what he wants from us. He loves us. He loves the whole church. That's why he died. He died for the whole world. Even the church. is falling away from this truth. Even the church. You think it bothers us? What do you think it does to his heart? How do you think he feels? It hurts his heart, but I believe he already knew. He knew before the foundation of the world. I believe nothing takes God by surprise, nothing.